And you need somebody to come in and sprinkle some timeless wisdom that will make a tremendous difference. Tom Ziegler is certainly should be at the top of that list. So please help me give a warm welcome to my very good friend, Mr. Tom Ziegler.
And you guys are awesome. I mean, just look around. You're amazing. You're here at this place to make money, but nobody cares about making money, right? Wait. Did I hear like... Okay, so I want to talk to you about a few things today, and I'm going to go quick. Howard doesn't believe I can speak quick. I'm going to prove him wrong today. I'm going to up my words per minute from about 3 to about 300. So, as some of you know, I'm a slow talker. I just had an amazing experience. I'm going to start by sharing 3 stories with you. And I want you to, as you listen to these 3 different stories, I want you to put yourself in the position of the parent, the owner, the business, right? I want you to think you're making this decision, okay? What would you do in this situation? So the first thing is I got to speak a couple of weeks ago in Savannah, Georgia, to the Evangelical Christian Publishing Association. And this is a pretty cool deal because it's all of the C-suite of all of the Christian publishers. How many of you ever bought a Christian book, any type of book? So the people who published those books were in the room. So there was Tyndale House and Baker and Zondervan and Thomas Nelson and all these great publishers. And we're talking about disruption. And so I asked the group, how many of you have experienced disruption in the last 2 years? 100% of the hands, right? We all have. And I said, well, like what? And so they started shouting out disruptions, and one of them said, yeah, we have a distribution warehouse, and FedEx built a warehouse next door, 1 million square feet. Okay, that's pretty big. And then when they moved in, or before they moved in, they came to our parking lot and they put a flyer on every windshield of all the people who worked in our distribution center. And the flyer said, would you like to make $1 an hour more next door? Anybody face that in your own way? Yeah. So think about it. What are you going to do? Now, this next story I've told several times. Some of you may have heard it. But I want you to think of this from the position of the business owner. So I'm out in Canada a few years ago, and I do this workshop on goal setting, and I'm doing goal setting for the whole team the next day. And the owners of the company, after the first day, they came to me, and they said, we've got this guy on the team. And he's been here for 10 years. He's like family. He's 36 years old. He can do everything. But we don't know whether we should promote him to manager or fire him. Has anybody had that dilemma? Should I fire you or promote you? And I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, you know, he can take the inventory in. They build steel doors and frames, right? So a hotel that would order 500 doors, their company would be the one that would manufacture all those doors because they're all the same size. It's by spec. He said he can receive the inventory. He can load it into our warehouse. He can set up the specs. He can design the specs. He can build the door. He can teach others to build the door. He can load it up and crate it and put it on the truck. He can go with the truck and he can teach the people there how to put it into the, you know, install it into the building. He can do all of that. But we can't depend on him. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, every now and then he just doesn't show up. Anybody ever have that problem? So I said, what's his dream? They said, we don't know. And I'm thinking, he's been working here for 10 years and you don't know? So I go find out. So they run down and they find out and they come back and they go, his dream is he wants a motorcycle. So you know what I thought? Chromed out Harley. They said, no, that's not what he wants. He wants a $2,500 used dirt bike. Okay, so how big a dream is that? That's like a little tiny dream, isn't it? I said, well, we can work with that. Let's help him get that. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to go to him and you're going to say, look, we want to help you get this bike, and we're going to have these requirements. You got to get the paperwork done every day. You got to have it filled out correctly. You got to be on time. You got to have everything in process. You got to communicate. And after 3 or 4 weeks of you doing this every day, then we're going to start giving you overtime. And that overtime pay that you're going to get, which is going to be extra than what we normally do, you're going to put that payroll deduct into the motorcycle fund. Right? And as you earn that, and we'll help you earn it quickly, as you earn that, then when you get to $2,000, we're going to have a party and a celebration, and we're going to give you a check for $500. $2,500, you're going to get the motorcycle. Well, the leaders of the company, they love that. They said, this is a great idea because this puts reward on the right side of contribution, right? He's going to contribute. He's going to be a part of it. It's going to take several months to do there. So we're going to create a pattern. We're going to show this guy that when he shows up and does what he's supposed to do, he gets rewarded. They go down to him and they come back and they say, we got another problem. I go, what's the problem now? He doesn't have a bank account. For 10 years, they've been writing him a paper check, and he's been going to the check cashing place. And so what does this guy know about money? Suddenly, in my eyes, I saw this man's past, and I said, this guy's out of control. The reason he doesn't show up is he doesn't know how to control life. Every month, every week is how much of my paycheck is left. And some weekends, when he has too much paycheck left, he misses the next day. You follow? I said, here's what you do. You're going to go down to him. You're going to get with your accountant. You're going to help him build a budget. You're going to take him down to the bank. Think about it. How much did they charge at the check cashing place to cash a check? He probably could have paid for a motorcycle over the last 10 years just in that fee, right? It's crazy. So you're going to take him down the bank. You're going to get him there. You're going to get Dave Ramsey on him. You're going to teach him about money, because if you know how to control money, you know how to control your life. Does that make sense? The third story. I'm in Australia. Melbourne. Where is the Melbourne? Yeah, I was in Melbourne. Steve McKnight, good friend. This is like 7 or 8 years ago. We'd done a big conference there, and he said, hey, why don't you come and spend the night at my house, and then the next day you go on to your next city. And I'm great. So that was Friday. So Saturday morning, we're having breakfast and everything, and about 8:30 in the morning, the door opens, and his 7-year-old daughter comes in, and she's just bouncing everywhere. She had just had her first spend-the-night birthday party. So she was at a friend's house down the street, part of their church group, and she was spent the night, and she comes in and she's like, Dad, we had the most amazing party. My friend got a Super Mario game on the Xbox, and I want one too. Anybody ever experienced the enthusiasm of a 7-year-old? And he goes, well, that's great. He said, can you afford it? 7 years old. He goes, why don't you go check the board? Well, they have this own economy in their family. And so she goes over to the board and she's looking at it. And Steve says, yeah, he says, around here they earn points. And they can convert points either into time or dollars. And I said, well, how does that work? And he said, well, there's some chores that they do just because they're part of the family, right? There's no, like, points for that. But when they do extra chores and we got the list, or they read an approved book, then they can pile up the points. And then they spend those points either on screen time, so his kids didn't have unlimited access to screens, right? They could only watch approved stuff, and they had to earn the right to go watch that. Or they could convert those points to dollars. And he said, that game on our system, it's probably going to cost her $20. And so she's checking to see if she has enough points. He goes, watch this. So 10 seconds later, the little girl comes back and goes, Dad, I have enough points. And he says, how many? And she tells him, and he says, wow, you can get the game. You just won't be able to play it because you don't have any points for screen time. Little girl went. And then the dad says, hey, why don't you go talk to your sister? Maybe she'll split it 50-50 with you. Yeah, that's a great idea. So this little girl runs up the stairs, right? And then he turns to me while she's upstairs and says, her sister has a lot of points. She reads 2 or 3 hours a day. She's got bank, right? So she comes downstairs. Dad, she's going to split it with me. This is awesome. He goes, okay, great. This is fantastic. You can get the game, but you know you'll only be able to play it for 30 minutes because of the points, right? She goes, yeah, you're right. He goes, well, what do you think? She goes, I don't know. And then she runs into the laundry room. And she grabs a big pile of clothes. And she comes over and she starts folding the clothes. She's earning points. And he whispers to me, she's thinking about it. And about 20 minutes later, he said, have you decided yet? And she goes, nope, but I need the points anyway. 2 hours go by. She comes back. She says, Dad, I don't think I'm going to get it. He goes, oh, okay. She walks off. She's happy. He turns to me and he said, she figured it out. I go, what? She's saving for a bike. So she realized that her big goal would be delayed. Those are three money stories, aren't they? 36-year-old man with an 18-year-old brain wants a $2,500 used dirt bike because he doesn't know how to use money. A company in a tight labor market trying to figure out how are they going to keep their people when the competition is literally across the parking lot offering a little bit more. And a little girl who's figuring out that delayed gratification and goals go for a powerful combination in your life. And so to me, money's important. You know, Dad had this quote. He said, you know, I've had money when I've had problems, and I haven't had money when I've had problems. But overall, if you're going to have problems, it's better to have money. Y'all agree with that? All right. So I got some questions for you. Is having money important? Yes. Yeah, it's important. Okay. Dad said this, money's not the most important thing, but it's reasonably close to oxygen on the gotta have it scale. Anybody heard that before? Yeah. So Howard said, can you come and talk on money? And I said, yeah, I can talk on money. Dad's got all these quotes. And then I went to the description of what my talk was, and all those quotes were there. So you need to laugh or go, wow, that's really good, even though you've heard it like 40 times. Is that okay? Okay, good. So why do you want to make more money? Why? Have you ever written it down? We're at a company and we had a big proposal, and I said to him, what do you want the result of this to be at the end of the year? And the VP said, I want a 10% increase in sales. It was sales training. I go, why? He goes, well, it's an expensive program. So I hope that we increase our sales enough in order to justify the expense and investment in the sales program. I said, that's good. Why else? He says, well, if we grow 10%, we all keep our job and we make bonuses. I go, that's awesome. What about next year? He goes, well, I hope the Ziegler stuff doesn't wear off after 1 year. I mean, I hope what we learn and implement, we just get better at it, and next year we grow by another 10%. I said, why is that important? He said, well, then we would all keep our jobs and make money and we would get bonuses. And I said, well, why is that important? And he said, because then I could pay off my house. And I'm like, wow, why is that important? And then he said, because I can build my lake house. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. Why is that important? And then his whole body language changed. Because then my grandkids would come and play. And so when you think about money, that's the why you got to get to, right? It's not for the bonus. It's not to pay off your house. It's not for the lake house, right? It's because the people you love are with you, right? Your grandkids. So how do we get there? So here's a money truth. You can have everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. That's a money quote. It's a philosophy. So for all the business owners and what I call a coach leader in the room, just curiosity, do your people want more money? They do? Like, are you pretty sure? Like, if you went and asked them and you said, hey, do you want more money? They'd say yes. See, it's always good to know the answer to a question before you ask it. So here's another money truth. Your job as the owner or the coach leader is to pay your people more money. Do y'all agree? Anybody get nervous? Anybody said I shouldn't have brought my team member here? So, yeah. The money discussion. Man, you don't really know somebody until you've done a money deal with them. Y'all agree with that? Money's... What is it? Money makes people funny? It's true. So let me ask you this. Stand up if you agree with that last money truth. Like, I want to see you stand up on this. I mean, here's the last truth in case you forgot, because we've got short-term memories, right? If I'm leading my team, if I'm the leader, my job is to make my people more money, is to pay them more money. Can we get a round of applause for that? I mean, come on, that's what we're supposed to do. You can sit down. Now you're in real trouble because somebody on your team could say, I saw you stand up. So what's the catch? Okay. Well, there is a catch. The catch is, I want to pay you more money. And your contribution to whatever we do has to help us increase in our growth, our profit, our revenue, whatever it is. And you have to be partly responsible for that for me to pay you more money. Does that sound fair? Is that pretty fair? So how do we do that? In order to earn more money so that you can pay more money, you have to solve more problems. So Dr. Rome, I think he spoke this at one of the conferences. He said, you know, when I was, Dr. Rome was Dad's Sunday school minister. So Dad had this big Sunday school class, and Dr. Rome was the class pastor. And he said, one day, Tom, he was talking to me. He said, one day your dad sat down with me, and he said this. He said, Robert, he said, don't ever chase money. It's too fast. You'll never catch it. Chase people. So how do we earn more money? It's in our people. How can I pay somebody on my team more money? It's because they're more effective than they were. I grow my people. That's how we pay them more money. They can do a better job. They can do more things. They can add more value. We can charge more for what they do. Now, this is, and I, you know, I'm a nerd, and most of you know that I'm a nerd, and I go off on these tangents, but here's a tangent. You're just going to have to deal with it. Some of you are taking medication when I just said that. I understand. Anybody familiar with the self-esteem movement? Everybody gets a trophy. We can't hurt your self-esteem. You win. You get an A. Why do we grade papers anyway? Who says we need to keep score? Does that drive anybody else besides me crazy? Yes. So every time you hear self-esteem, I want you to replace it with this. Self-respect. The way you build a healthy self-image is by helping somebody have self-respect. And if people on your team, and we all go through it in life, right? We can be riding high and then get crushed because life happens. Because it happens to all of us. We can get in the pits for a while. We can feel depressed. We can go through issues. Well, one of the greatest ways to deal with that is to do things on a consistent basis that give yourself self-respect. So as a coach, leader, as an owner, when you pour into your people and you help them to be more effective each day in their attitude, effort, or skill, and you show them what to do, and they start doing it, their self-respect just starts to grow. And people with a lot of self-respect, they keep the standards, right? They keep the streak. So I'm going to ask, what problems do you solve? Well, we solve problems for our customers. That makes us more money, doesn't it? Look at what Rabbi Lappin says. He says, when you solve a problem for someone, you're often rewarded with a certificate of appreciation. We call that money. The more problems you solve, the more certificates of appreciation you get. Now, this is what's cool. God is never happier with his children than when they're solving the problems of his other children. In your business, when you help a customer solve a problem, the creator of the universe smiles. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Well, guess what? The people on your team have problems. When you help them solve a problem, when you help them gain a little bit of self-respect, when you help them grow and develop into the person they were created to become, right? When you guide and direct them and ask them the coaching questions that allow them to grow, and they start to be more effective, not only can they solve more problems for your customers, but they're solving problems in their own life. And the creator of the universe smiles. When you pour into somebody, the creator of the universe smiles. That's pretty cool. And why is this important? Because now we're connecting it, right? People like what money will buy, but they love what money won't buy. Money will buy a bed, but not a good night's sleep. It'll buy a house, but not a home. A companion, but not a friend. You pay your people good money, they'll like you. Right? You help them discover what a good night's sleep is, what friendship is, they'll love you. So when we help our people grow, it's a much more than a monetary transaction, right? They're not a unit of production. They're a living human being designed for amazing things. And they're looking for you. They need to borrow some of your confidence, some of your wisdom, some of your love, because they need somebody to believe in them. So how do we solve more problems? So here are four things. First one is we got to align our vision and our virtues. So when I talk about vision, I'm talking about the corporate, the company, the business vision. So the vision is a little bit bigger than the mission, but they go hand in hand. I like to look at it as not only the problem we solve, but why we solve it. And I'll tell you this. A lot of people have quit work because of depression. And depression is really, when you get down to it, it's a lack of hope. And when you add that to this concept that people don't think they matter, that's a scary combination. And so when you are able to communicate the vision of your business every single day to every person on your team about the difference we make in the community, the problems we solve, the testimonials of our company and what we do, when you're able to communicate to that to them, they know that they're working for a higher cause, a bigger purpose, right? That they make a difference. And when they know they make a difference, then their energy comes up. Their hope starts to grow, because even though they may not have it figured out, they're pretty confident that I'm making a difference here. Does attitude make a difference? Or does it make all the difference? It's pretty close to all, isn't it? The right attitude drives everything else. Well, what are virtues? It's how we treat each other. I had dinner with Charles and Betty last night, and they bought, so it was awesome. And Charles said, "What are you thinking about for your next book?" And I said, "I don't know, but I'm thinking of this idea." And he goes, "What's that?" And I go, "Well, it's not finished cooked yet, but I'll give you like a little bit." He goes, "Okay." And I said, "Well, I'm thinking about identifying as a virtuist." It's like the whole world has to identify about something, right? Y'all seen that? And he goes, "Well, what's that?" I go, "Well, imagine somebody who is blind and deaf. Would they care about the size, shape, color, race, religion, or gender of whoever was helping them?" No, they wouldn't. They would care about the content of their heart, the character that they demonstrated to them. So when I say I'm a virtuist, let's talk about virtue. Right? Let's talk about what matters. So top performers are pretty interesting. They want to work for a place that has a vision and a cause bigger than them, and they want to be treated with virtue. Does that make sense? So we got to align those. Number two, is compensation and contribution have to go hand in hand? Everybody's got an economist in their heart, and what they're asking is my leader, is my boss, is the owner, is the place I'm working, are they lifting me up, making me more valuable tomorrow than I am today, creating possibilities, helping me to grow, or are they holding me down? Are they controlling everything and only giving me tidbits and not letting me grow, and say, "You're stuck there, this is the only thing you can do"? People want to know this: when I contribute and we grow and good things happen, what happens to me if I'm part of that? Well, we said everybody stood up. We're supposed to pay our people more money. There you go. Number three, quality of life equals quality of work. This is the big deal all across the world right now. Biggest issue in corporate world is they figured out that quality of life equals quality of work. The mental health and well-being of their people is what matters. Are you protecting and building relationships with your people to such an extent that you know how their quality of life is? How's their health? How's their family relationships at home? Do they have a checking account at the bank? I mean, these are simple things, but it has to be intentional. And finally, goals and growth. Are you helping them grow? Are you helping them set milestones that they can achieve and you celebrate together? And the way they get there, the way they get that is by growing. The companies that were not growth-oriented in their internal atmosphere and environment and culture, they got wiped out, because when change comes, only the learners and the growers are going to win. So our emphasis needs to be on growing our people. So there it is, all on one page. I mean, those are the four things. That's a hint. Get your picture, your phone out. Take a picture, man. This is Should I go in front of that and stand in front of it? No, that's okay. Yeah, these are the four things. Well, I want to say it to you a couple of different ways, because what we're really talking about is we got to work for a dream and not a paycheck. So here's the big question. With all the disruption going on, how do we solve money problems so we can earn and pay more money? Right? Because things change. Everything's up in the air. Like the publishing group. Okay, so let me tell you what the publishers had to deal with. Supply chain for book publication shut down completely, because where do they buy their 50,000 copies from? China. Amazon decided they weren't going to ship anything other than essential products for the first 90 to 120 days after the shutdown. Guess what's not an essential product? A book. That got shut down. So think about 6 months of business just got delayed. Right, because it's a long timeline. So when all this happens, what do? So the answer is found in the problem. In the problem, there's this job sage survey, and I just love it because it tells us what the answers are. 28% of the people in the last 2 years quit because of mental health reasons. Do y'all think that's about right, high or low? How many of you think that's about right? Raise your hand. Low, is that number low? Like more than 28% quit? Okay. Depends on the industry. So then they asked the people who quit, what were the contributing factors? So look at this. This is kind of interesting. 55% quit because of stress and burnout. 38% quit because of depression. 37% quit because lack of motivation. What is that? I thought my wife had gotten one of those little plastic things with all the bubbles, and she was... I love that stuff. Squirrel. So what's the antidote to stress and burnout? It's quality of life. I want you to think about this. Look at this, the wheel here. If I'm doing well mentally, right, I go to bed at night, I've got an optimistic outlook, I've got hope in the future, I'm making decisions, I'm filling my mind with the good, the clean, the pure, the powerful, the positive. And then physically, man, I'm getting sleep, I'm exercising, I'm getting the right amount of nutrition, I'm handling that pretty good spiritually. I've got faith, I've got a faith community, I'm living my life on the virtues, and my family, I've got a place to go home that loves me. We support each other when the times are tough. And then financially, I got a plan, I got a budget, I've got a savings program, I've got a little bit of money in the bank, I've got future goals, you know, I'm thinking of the future. And then personally, I'm building myself with energy, right? I'm taking time for self-care. I'm doing the things that help refuel me. If I got those six things going on and work is kind of tough, am I going to have stress and burnout and quit? No. Guess what else? If I'm working for a higher cause, a bigger purpose, and it aligns with mine, I'm good. 38% said they quit because of depression. Rabbi Daniel Lappin, when he talks about this, he says that the opposite of depression is not happiness. The opposite of depression is purpose. Do you know the purposes of your people, their dreams, their goals, their why, what it is they want to accomplish? And then 37% say they quit because of lack of motivation. Well, what's the antidote to that? Goals and growth. People who are growing towards a goal every single day, they got motivation. Right? Who doesn't like getting a win and a win and a win and a win, right? Who doesn't like being celebrated in front of their team? Who doesn't like knowing they're more effective today than they were yesterday? We all love that. People don't quit when they're, listen, watch this. People don't quit when they are growing and achieving their goals towards their purpose and a higher cause while experiencing a balanced quality of life. Quality of life, personal and career alignment, growth and goals, people, purpose, and performance. Oh, and a new chart. Look at this. This is so simple. if our people are growing towards their purpose and we're building a relationship where we can help protect their quality of life, they keep growing. They don't get burned out. The coach leader. So Michelle is my coach, and she said, well, how would a coach leader help me feel included? How would a coach leader help me feel like I'm part of the team? How would a coach leader help me make more money? And I said, share your story. And she said, well, when I started off on the east, northeast coast, right, she went to work for a big company, very aggressive, you know, think New Jersey, New York style, aggressive. And she said, we were all around the table, and the manager would come in and pass out the projects, and everybody would fight over the projects. She said, but I'm from Puerto Rico, and I'm a female, and that's not what we do. So she said, I'd just kind of sit back, and I'd get what was left. She said, where I come from, if you're doing a great job, the leader recognizes that and makes sure that you get what you've earned. That wasn't the culture there. And she said, then it came time for the raise. And everybody's in the manager's office lobbying why they should make more money. She said, but I'm a woman from Puerto Rico. I'd never do that. They should recognize my contribution and award me accordingly. She said, 3 or 4 years into it, I realized I'd been left behind. Because when you get the big projects, your network changes. The people you know, the deals you get offered get bigger and bigger and bigger. She said, because I was behind the curve on pay increases, I was left behind. Well, you do the math. Charles was doing the math earlier. What happens when you start getting gains, right? Well, what happens when you start getting behind on this? It's hundreds of thousands of dollars by the end of your career. She said, how would a coach leader help me in that situation? I said, because the first day you walk in, a coach leader sits down with you and says, at the end of this year, do you want a promotion? Do you want to make more money, the same money, or less money? I want to make more money. If you know, I don't know what the promotions are, but I'd like to be eligible. Well, fantastic. That's my job. We're going to figure that out day one, how you can be more effective every day on the job so we can promote you, so that we can give you more responsibility, so you can earn more money. And we can only do that if you contribute to the profit and growth of the company. Does that sound fair? That's what coach leadership is all about. That's what being a business owner is really about. It's about the money. But we don't chase money because it's too fast. We chase the people God put in front of us. What problems do you have? We chase our customer. What problems do you have? So I want to wrap up with this. We have a... So I want you to think of the wheel of life, okay? Everybody familiar with the wheel? The seven spokes, mental, spiritual. In fact, maybe I'll just go back to it. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Should have put this in twice, but you know. How many of you have a purpose statement for each one of those spokes? Like, on the physical spoke, have you written out a purpose statement of why you're living a healthy life, right? And it should fold into your overall mission statement for yourself, right? Does anybody think that would be valuable? Would that be good? How many of you are not sure? Like, purpose doesn't really matter, or it's overrated? Anybody? No, okay, good. I'm just messing with you. So we have an event coming up at Ziegler headquarters on November 11th and 12th, and it's called the Born to Win 2022. So we're going to go 2 days through the foundational principles that Ziegler is known for, and we're going to go through the why and the wheel of life, and it's going to be an intimate discussion. The room size is capped off at 33. We already sold out the first 2 days. That sold out like immediately. And so we opened up these next 2 days, and we've got 15 spots available. So I just want to let you know that. Howard, I had to put this picture in because it was at one of your conferences. You know, it's just, I know, look at that. It's like everywhere I go, it's like you're looking over my shoulder. I'm just not really sure. Yeah. And so we've done something different with this one. We're wanting you to bring you, your spouse, your team, your family. I think we've got some 12 and 13 year olds coming. So this is, they need to be able to sit still. But what if, like Steve McKnight's daughter, who was trying to figure out whether they should get the game, right? It's pretty cool. So there's some things you'll learn, and I'm going to give you a link to go there. But how do you plan, prepare, and expect to win? How do you gain clarity on your purpose and why? How many of you know that your purpose and your why kind of changes over time? Do you know it's supposed to? Because we know more, we grow more, right? We get better, and so we're going to go into that. How do you create the future you want? And what is the sequence of success? And a specific plan that you can walk out of there with each one of those seven spokes. The seven-step goal-setting formula. So here is the offer. It's normally $7.97. But for everybody in Inner Circle, it's $2.97. It's at Ziegler headquarters. By the way, we have some Ziegler coaches in here as well. Yeah. And some ZLCers. So you're in the family. You're in the Inner Circle family as far as this offer is concerned. So if you want to come, here's the link. $297. I wish we had more seats than 15, but we've been selling it. It's going to be November 11th and 12th. Our headquarters is up in Highland Shores, which is about 20 minutes north of Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. So it's a brand new office. It's amazing. I hope to see you there. So the last story. I was coaching a guy, and he said, "Tom, I think I should get married." He was 34, multimillionaire, in real estate. I said, "That's great." And then he said, "I think I should start dating first." Smart guy. I said, "Yeah, that would be awesome." And then he said, "I haven't dated in 17 years. He's been building an empire. He didn't have time." I said, "Awesome. So who do you want to marry?" And he had the list. Anybody here ever write the list? I go, "Tell me the list." He goes, "Oh, this woman's going to be amazing. She's going to be adventuresome, athletic, smart, compassionate, generous, kind." And he goes down the list. It's like 25. I go, "Wow." He goes, "I just described a unicorn, didn't I?" "Do they even exist?" he asked. I said, "Oh yeah, they exist." He goes, "How do you catch one?" Here's how you catch one. What you do is you write down every attribute that you want in that person. All the virtues that you want, right? These are the virtues. And then right next to it is you write the list of virtues that would attract that type of person. And I said, you develop those virtues in yourself, and then you'll catch a unicorn. So when you're thinking about the perfect team member for your business, you write down the virtues that you want, and then right next to it, you write down the virtues that will attract that person. And then you develop those in yourself. That's your takeaway. Tom Ziegler, I'm so proud to be here. As always, I close every speech, well, almost everyone, with, "I am the proud son of Zig Ziglar. And you guys are my family." So that makes us related. Thank you so much.
Look at that. Woo! You want to get a little ride?